So what's going on now? You got this great, hot, new podcast, After the Whistle.
Yeah.
You didn't want to go with After the Buzzer? Because that's when the real action starts.
It's the party life.
It's not After the Whistle. It's After the Final Buzzer.
Well, you know as well as I do that After the Whistle, After the Buzzer, you could talk about a lot of things that happen after that. You know, whether you're going out for a few cocktails after the game, or you're in the fisticuffs, you name it. There's a lot that happens. But super excited. Andrew Peters and I have decided, just a couple months ago that we're going to start a podcast. Our first couple episodes have come out already. And it's been awesome. After with those, it's exciting.
Well, and you've got the Buffalo Sabres to thank for that, because they're selling themselves now.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I think I'm probably, and everybody here in Buffalo is probably the most surprised out of anybody. A really young team, a lot of great players, but it's a transition. There's a true transition. Kevin Adams made some major, major moves in the off season, trading away, star player in Sam Reinhardt and Rasmus Ristolainen, longtime defenseman here. And now, having the situation with Jack Eichel, who's still on the shelf with his neck injury, and, they stripped him of his C, and it's very apparent that they're going in a different direction.
So how is the general Buffalo public feeling about Jack Eichel right now? Like, is there resentment, anger, frustration, or is it pity? Where is the temperature in the city on Eichel?
I think it really is a flip-flop. You're sitting on a teeter-totter here in Buffalo. I think there's some people that are extremely ticked off that, the Sabres are so-called, keeping Jack out and not allowing him to do the surgery of his choice. But then there's the other side. It's the other 50% that are saying, we trust the Sabres and the direction that they're trying to go. And, hopefully something can happen with Jack Eichel. He is a world-class player, one of the best in the National Hockey League. And I hope that he can get healthy, get back in this league, and, play in front of their fans.
Does a good start for the Sabres help the situation, hurt the situation? Who gets the upper hand here?
Are you talking in regards to Jack Eichel or something?
Yes, I'm just saying, is there less pressure on Kevin Adams with a good start to do something with Jack? Would a bad start force him to make a quicker decision? How does the start, you think, affect this situation?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I think Kevin Adams is a little different than some of the GMs that we've had in the past. The GMs in the past have just been basically throwing Band-Aids all over the place and hoping that that's going to stop the bleeding. Kevin Adams has made a choice. He's made a choice. He's identified that things need to change in the locker room and the environment. He's made some really big, bold decisions by moving out Sam Reinhardt, Rasmus Ristolainen, and now Jack Eichel is going to be probably very soon to follow. I don't think Kevin Adams has any pressure. I think the pressure is for him to go to work every day and try and make this team better. And I think the fan base right now, with the last 10 years of not making the playoffs, this is not a happy fan base. But I'm going to tell you this, they're happy with the direction of what's happening right now. You can see a different product. There's not a lot of household names playing for the Sabres right now. There's a lot of youthful hockey players, the Rasmus Dahlin, the Dylan Cousins, Casey Mittelstadt, Tage Thompson. These guys are the future of Buffalo, and they've really performed quite well in their first three games.
So when I look at this roster, this is not in any of these players. This is on me, but there are some names I'm not overly familiar with, whether it's Rasmus Asplund or Arttu Ristolainen or Jacob Bryson. It's not a lineup that, that I'm fully up on everyone. Who are some players in here that are better than I think or better than I know, or I should be like, keep an eye on this kid. He's worth watching on Buffalo.
Well, listen, I mean, they have a little bit of a different makeup. They have some veteran leadership, guys like Žemgis Girgensons. Kyle Okposo has been probably, for me, the biggest eye-opener. I mean, he has been absolutely fantastic. Jeff Skinner has found his game, and you can see Jeff Skinner's got a smile on his face for the first time in about 3 years because it wasn't a great experience under the last head coach. We have some players that Kevin Adams brought in, guys like Vinny Hinostroza, who's a good hockey player, but just quite hasn't found his spot yet in the National Hockey League. You could say the same thing about Will Butcher and maybe a Drake Kujula. And these guys are not household names, but they're really hungry and they're happy to be in Buffalo and to get an opportunity to play and establish themselves as NHL players. And then there's the other side, the young guys, the Dahlins, the Cousins, the Henry Jokiharjus, the Mittelstats, the Thompsons. These guys are the future of the Buffalo Sabres. So it's an interesting makeup.
So you're telling me that Buffalo fans can actually forget that Jeff Skinner makes $9 million a year? And I think he's got 5 or 6 years left on that deal. It's beyond that because we're in a market where every game, whether it's Marner or Matthews or Tavares, are reminded how much money they make.
Yep. Listen, I mean, it's without question one of the worst contracts in the National Hockey League, bar none. I don't care if he scores 30 or 40 goals. It's still a terrible contract because, I mean, you know, Kipper, you played this game so long that, you know, it's not just about scoring goals if you want to be successful. It's about all the little things that you do to create and make your teammates around you better and to be a harder player to play against. And Jeff Skinner has been a really strong goal scorer in the National Hockey League for years, but you need to realize he's never made the playoffs. Okay?
Yeah.
He hasn't made the playoffs because there's holes in his game that, you know, quite frankly, he doesn't help in ways that are going to help you win hockey games. But he is going to score goals. He is an offensive guy, but it's not a great contract. And that's something that they'll have to navigate through in the next number of years.
So is Rasmus Dahlin taking steps, or does he look like a guy who can be a number one D after being the number one overall pick? I know he just about won the Green Jacket last year, but that happens when you're on a team that's not very good. So I don't necessarily fault him.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, I think Rasmus Dahlin is his skill level is absolutely off the chart.
Right.
Like, I mean, elite, his offensive ability, his ability to move the puck up the ice. But there's still areas. He's still 21 years old and there's a lot of game for him to continue to get better. The defensive part of games, you want this guy to be able to be on the ice 25 minutes a night in all key situations. He's building towards that. Not quite there yet, but he's definitely building towards that. He's a fantastic player. But I will say this. Like, you have a Kale McCarr or a Miro Heiskanen or players like that that are having success on their current teams. Well, guess what? It's not the Buffalo Sabres.
Right.
The Buffalo Sabres are a struggling team that's trying to find and building through the draft. And those teams are more established hockey teams. And Rasmus Dahlin, if you stuck him on one of those teams, he would be absolutely lights out because he would be supported by a much stronger cast of players on those teams.
Craig, you know, teams are built down the center of the ice. From the net on out, it's got to be the middle of the ice. And without Jack Eichel in the middle, that's where it gets really tricky. Does a centerman have to come back for Eichel? Dylan Cousins, I guess Thompson, good players, but are we talking about guys that can forget about make people forget about Jack Eichel?
Yeah, it's a really tricky situation for the Sabres to be in because Jack Eichel is a top five, top seven centerman in the National Hockey League. He is dynamic beyond dynamic. He's a game-changing hockey player, and you have to get the value back. You cannot trade Jack for 70% on the dollar right now because he has a neck injury. And this is a really tricky situation because if Jack was healthy, you would have 20 teams in the National Hockey League making phone calls to Kevin Adams every day. But right now, Jack is not healthy. And once that, once they can figure out how that is going to happen, Jack's value is going to go through the roof. But I do believe if they do trade him and they send this headache someplace else to another team, and that team allows Jack to do his disc replacement surgery, the one that Jack would like to do, then you have to get, I would say, an elite young centerman back. I think it's very, very important.
I got the trade.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do. No, it's my personal. It's not.
Right. No, not really. No, I know. Okay, okay, no, okay. I know.
I don't want. You know how Twitter works, man. Yeah. Okay, I don't have the trade. I'm going to throw something out for you guys. Okay, I think the team out there that should trade for Jack Eichel, the New Jersey Devils.
I could see it.
I'm watching Jack Hughes go down with a dislocated shoulder. They're too small up the middle. With Jack and
what are we getting back?
Nico Hischier. You could build it around Nico Hischier. I know they just signed him.
Is that the only piece?
No, no. There'd have to be some components there, but he is the centerpiece on that trade. He's a centerman. He's locked in on a long-term deal at a little over $7 million, which could fit into the payroll for the Buffalo Sabres. That's a type of trade I can see. And Jack, New Jersey needs some more size to play behind Jack Hughes. And I think Eichel can do that. But I think New Jersey's a team that could be in play for Eichel. Is Hischier enough for you?
Very interesting. There would definitely need to be something that's coming back beyond Nico Hischier. He's a great hockey player. He's still a really young guy. I don't really even think he's hit his stride in the NHL, but
I agree.
He's a really interesting player for sure.
And one that could make Buffalo fans feel like they're getting something back. This is a top pick in the National Hockey League with tremendous upside.
He was number one overall, was he not? And
I think you could sell that to Buffalo fans.
Certainly doesn't hurt.
And I can think you can sell it to New Jersey, who just continue to get pummeled up the middle of the ice with two smaller guys in Nico Hischier and Jack Hughes. I don't think you can build a championship with those guys 1-2. You need more size.
What about Columbus and like Yegor Chinnikov and Cole Sillinger? And, you know, like Columbus wants to bring in guys who won't necessarily choose to play there. I don't know.
Craig, do you need one great kind of star name, or can you do this with three solid names?
I'm looking for quality over quantity. That's just my thinking when you're talking about Jack Eichel. I think that there needs to be probably three pieces to this trade, and one of them is going to be a household whopper, and he's going to be on the younger side.
All right, so
I mean,
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, you need to understand it's a very tricky situation because Jack Eichel is injured right now. But if he was not injured, he's a top 10 player in the world.